The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So Mary ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid them." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down, looked in, and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As Mary wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. Then the angel said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When Mary had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary!" She turned and said to Jesus in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that she had seen that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. What an amazing thing. The tomb is empty. Mary meets Jesus, and the story will begin to unfold. But to understand how the story unfolds, to understand what brings us here 2,000 years later, it is important for us to look at history. For 3 years, give or take, these followers of Christ have lived at the footsteps of heaven. The Word of God has been preached by God's Son, Jesus Christ. They've heard God's Word. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the lowly. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. They've experienced miracles. They've seen the blind receive sight. They've seen the crippled regain strength. The leprosy has been healed. They've seen the orders and rules of the world confounded that tell us things are scarce. Jesus feeds over 5,000 with nothing but a young boy's lunch. They've experienced heaven. They've experienced the great things of God. They've grown in love and service and in acts of the Spirit. And now Jesus is dead. Their Savior, hung on a cross, was beaten, was speared, bowed his head, gave up his last, and was sealed in a tomb. It's back to real life for them. Real life is our life. It's back to the world. It's back to work. It's back to relationships. It's back to trying to earn out a living, to dealing with your family, to trying to make friends, to solving disputes, to dealing with sickness and sadness and despair. You name it. That is our life. They had followed a Savior. And their Savior had died. And throughout the course of history, many people have followed many different Saviors. We've seen political Saviors. We've seen military Saviors. We've seen spiritual Saviors. We've seen philosophical Saviors. They've promised things to people. They've inspired people. They've taught people. They've rallied people. They've changed people. But like Jesus Christ of Nazareth, they have all died. None of them have defeated death. None of them had power beyond the grave. Their lives, like our lives, are in bondage. In bondage to this, our way of life in the world. In bondage to the old Adam. But in Jesus Christ, we see the empty tomb. The stone rolled away. We see the resurrection. This is what makes Jesus Christ unique. This is what makes Him not just another Savior, not just another great teacher, not just another great moral example. This is what validates all of what Christ has said. When Christ tells us about the heavenly visions, that the last will be first, that the poor will receive their due, that sins will be forgiven, that we will feast at a great banquet, the resurrection confirms that. It makes true what Jesus has told us and those who have gone before us. It is the good news of Easter. It's good news for us. We can come today and we can celebrate the resurrection. We can say hallelujah. We can sing songs. We can pray prayers. We can read words. We can shake hands. We can smile. But it would be good for us to know why the resurrection is important. What does the resurrection mean to you? How does it make your life better? What does the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead mean to you? What does it mean to your work? What does it mean to your life and family? What does it mean? It means none of this is eternal. Think about it. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. Dead does not have a hold on Jesus Christ. Death is defeated. You see, the disciples didn't understand that. The disciples come to Jesus' tomb this morning, they look inside, they see He's gone, and what do? Except for Mary Magdalene, it says they go back home. Because they don't understand the power of the resurrection. They go back to their lives. We are living those lives. All the good things in our life, the things that make us feel that we are at the footsteps of heaven, we as Christians are a people of now and not yet. We know the Holy Spirit now, but we have not fully experienced it yet. We know forgiveness now, but we have not fully experienced what it is to be forgiven. We know God's grace now, but we have not fully experienced heaven. We are people of the now and the not yet. We experience love. We experience peace. We experience prayer. We experience joy. All these gifts of the Spirit that St. Paul talks about, we experience them. The early apostles, the followers of Christ, experienced the same things. Think about what brings you joy in your life. Think about the things that you pray to God for at night and say, thank you, God, for this. For your children, for your husband, for your wife, your grandchildren, your job, your security, your health, whatever it may be. Those things that draw you closer to God. Those things that you feel bring you in the presence of God. Those things that inspire your faith. Death will defeat them all. Death will end every relationship. Death will end every possession. Death will win. This is what happened to the disciples. They walked with Jesus and they loved with Jesus and they learned with Jesus and death stole Jesus. And it was over. It ended. And for us, the same is true. All that we love death and decay and rust and rot will take. If you love your house, it will eventually crumble. If you love your spouse, one of you will eventually die. If you love your health, you will eventually become sick. If you love your bank account, you will eventually experience poverty. The truth of the matter is, the world will steal all that we love from us. And without the good news of the resurrection, that is the final chapter of our lives. We will breathe our last breath and die. And our money won't matter, our relationships won't matter, our accomplishments won't matter, our houses won't matter, and our cars won't matter. Because we will be dead, and we will enjoy none of them again. The power of the resurrection, the good news that Jesus Christ lives, means that death does not win. That death does not destroy relationships. That death does not destroy faith. That death does not destroy love and hope. That death does not destroy our future. As Christ comes out of the grave, He establishes relationships. He establishes community. He establishes family. He establishes this church to gather us together. Christ says, death does not have the final word on your life. This is the good news of the resurrection, that God is victorious. It means a lot. Because we are going to go through our lives. And we are going to experience loss and sickness and depression and bankruptcy in whatever varying measure. And we can let those things win. We can give them total control over our lives. Or we can recognize that whatever happens to us, whatever befalls us, that there is nothing on heaven or on earth that can separate us from the love of God that we have in Jesus Christ. This is the good news of the resurrection. The tomb is empty. God's not just making a statement about His relationship with Christ. God is making a statement about His relationship with you. Look at the resurrection story. It talks more about the people than Jesus. That's us. It talks about people that went home, that just went back to their lives, thinking that death had won, that there was nothing left, that yeah, they had some good times with Jesus, but now it's time to get back to the boat, or the fields, or the family. It talks about Mary, who just laid there depressed, crying. This is us. If we think that death wins, what is our hope going forward? What is our good news? In our reading today, St. Paul says, as Christians, if Christ was not raised from the dead, we are to be most pitied of all. Because everything hangs on that. Everything Jesus said hangs on it. Everything Jesus did hangs on it. And everything that Jesus promises hangs on being raised from the dead. Don't let people fool you, say, I like that Jesus. He was a great teacher. Don't let people fool you and say, I like that Jesus. He was a great moral leader. Jesus Christ is our Messiah. He is our Savior. He is living. He is risen. That is the good news for us. Death does not win. The love you share with your family, we are told that we will share it in heaven. The love that you share with your friends, we are told that we will share that in heaven. The love that you share in community, we are told that you will share that in heaven. In Jesus Christ, we see the glory that God has planned for us. We see the first fruits of the new creation. A world in which there is not sickness. There is not despair or depression. There is not war. There is not sickness, disease, or death. There is life. There is life abundant. There is life everlasting. Think about what separates us. None of it is from God. None of it is holy. All of it is bound to sinfulness. Greed and lust and envy. All of these things come not from God, but come from us. As Christ walks out of the tomb, Christ carries us forward to a new way of understanding our lives. A new way of understanding who we are. And a new way of understanding what our future will look like. We are joined with Jesus Christ. And that's good news for us. Today we'll celebrate a baptism. And in our baptisms we say we are joined with Jesus. Jesus Christ was born, we're born. Jesus Christ was baptized, we'll be baptized. Jesus Christ prayed, we'll pray. Jesus Christ lives, we'll live. Jesus Christ died, we'll die. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we will be raised from the dead. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We are joined to Jesus Christ. He is pulling us forward. We are in the now moment of our lives. Now we know the Holy Spirit. Now we know God's grace. Now we know the gifts of heaven. Now we know our future. But we're also in the not yet. We have not yet fully experienced God's love. We have not yet fully experienced reconciliation. We have not yet fully experienced heaven. But make no mistake about it, as the tomb is empty, as the cross is bare, we are going there. The world is on a trajectory, and it is pulling us forward. And that is to the place where we began, the perfection of creation. Lives that are bound only by love, by peace, and by faith. Jesus' resurrection means something to you, and it means something to the world. It means that we will live, that this will continue, that God's good news for Jesus is God's good news for us. And I'm thankful. Because without that good news, nothing continues. Death will destroy it all. All your joy, all your riches, all your passions, death will destroy it. Death will steal it from you, death will take it from you, and death will leave you with nothing. And when you find yourself in that tomb, when you find yourself all alone, when the boulder has been closed in front of your life, when the darkness permeates you, know that that is when God will raise you from the dead, that you will walk out victorious, and because He lives, you shall live as well. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia.